This is a podcast for Darfur, the promise of engagement. I'm Rebecca Hamilton. Today is Sunday, May the 24th, 2009, and I'm here in Sarajevo. I'm not actually here for my research at all. I'm here because a number of friends from Sarajevo have always told me how beautiful the city is. And so when I found cheap tickets, I thought it was worth the weekend trip to get here and see it for myself. And it has been, and they're right. It is a stunningly beautiful city. The city itself is in a valley surrounded by mountains that at this time of the year are this lush, beautiful green. But in the winter, I know that they'll be covered in snow and were worthy of being the 1984 Winter Olympic site. Of course, war was to devastate the area less than a decade after the Olympics. But in addition to the obvious beauty of Sarajevo, you also have the very recent past, very much in the present. It's present in a physical sense. The buildings themselves, many have not been reconstructed since they were demolished or partly demolished. Other buildings are still standing, but they have bullet holes in them. On the pavement, you have what the locals call Sarajevo roses. They're areas where grenades fell. I'm sitting now in a square where there's a group of old men who are playing chess with these almost life-size chess pieces out on the pavement. And I can see a crowd gathering around to watch and offer advice. It's a fascinating city also in terms of being what you would think of as the most incredible mix of integrated cultures and in particular religions. You only have to take a little stroll around the city centre to come across an Orthodox church, a Catholic church, a mosque, and a synagogue, all within walking distance of each other. And as someone was trying to explain it to me today, they think that this is why the city was attacked. In their view, there were Serb radicals, and the person I was speaking with was very careful to not just say Serbs in general, but Serb radicals that were against the idea of this integrated, multi-religious, multi-ethnic city that in his mind is all that Sarajevo stood for.
Sarajevo was always multicultural and multi-ethnic city. Some people called Sarajevo European Jerusalem because only here and in Jerusalem you can find Orthodox Church, Jewish Temple, Muslim Mosque, Catholic Cathedral, everything in maybe 100 meter area. You can see this building in front of us is actually National Library or Sarajevo City Hall, built in Austro-Hungary period, completely burned in 1992 from that hill on the right side. Burning of this library was a biggest cultural massacre in this last war.
I'm standing outside what are effectively the ruins of the National Library. You can't go inside at the moment, it is under reconstruction. But as you walk up the stairs, you see the scaffolding for the reconstruction, a few pigeons here and there, and then two marble signs. This is what it reads. On this place, Serbian criminals in the night of 25th to 26th of August 1992 set on fire National and University's Library of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Over 2 million of books, periodicals and documents vanished in the flame. At the bottom it says, "Do not forget, remember and warn."
Some of that books was very, very old and very, very important, not just for Bosnians, actually for all Europe. 8 citizens killed that night trying to save some books, because when firemen and citizens start to saving, aggressors still shoot on it. This place and this part of town we call Bašćaršija, this is what is actually the heart of Sarajevo. Tito was a great communist leader in a period when Bosnia and Herzegovina was a part of Yugoslavia, and Yugoslavia was a typical communist country. Yugoslavia used to have 6 republics, and that republic was Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Serbia, Montenegro and Macedonia, including 2 little part with Serbia, which is Kosovo and Metohija. All that republic now are actually independent. This beautiful mosque on the left side is Ali Pašina Mosque, built in Ottoman period. It's not very big, but architecturally it's perfect. Student of architecturally come to study proportion between minarets and cupolas outside and inside. Sarajevo is surrounded by Olympic mountains. All that mountains was position for aggressor artillery, and all that mountains around was actually the first front lines. But let's go back half year before everything, in time when Bosnia and Herzegovina was still a republic of one of the six republics of Yugoslavia. In that time, ex-Yugoslav army took positions on the mountains and hills around the city, completely preparing the front lines, dig the bunker, place up for artillery and everything. Some citizens from city and journalists from city go outside and ask the generals, what you are doing? Why are you preparing front line in front of city? They said just, oh, don't worry, just practice, like every army in the world. We was foolish, we believed them, and half year later, citizens of Bosnia and Herzegovina and Sarajevo, of course, vote for independence. We have democratic elections here. We vote for independent. Bosnia and Herzegovina start to be independent country. They just bring more artillery, more soldiers on that lines, and start to terrorize the city. You can see this big blue building in front of us. That building is Parliament of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Right here, in front of that parliament, citizens of Sarajevo came to have peaceful protest against the war. That was the 5th of April 1992. That day, radical Serbs start to shooting to civilians from the roof of the Hotel Holiday Inn, which is yellow building on the right side, and from some apartments on the left side of River Miljacka. That day, they killed Suada Dilberović. Suada Dilberović was just a student of medicine, and she was first civil victim of war here in Sarajevo. That day, war in Sarajevo starts. That was the 5th of April, 1992. Approximately before war, in Sarajevo used to live 60% of Bosniak Muslim citizen, 30% of Orthodox Serb citizen, 10% of Catholic Croat citizen, and one small part of the others. But few months, maybe a year before war was started here, radical Serbs tried to represent Sarajevo like all Serbian city. Actually, the plan of radical Serbs in that time, in 1990s, was to unite all Orthodox Serb citizens from ex-Yugoslav Republic, take some territory from territory from other Yugoslav Republic, for example, some territory from Slovenia, almost half territory from Croatia, more than half territory of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and unite it with Serbia and Montenegro, and they want to have a Great Serbia or Big Serbia, which needs to be 100% ethnically clean country just for Orthodox Serb citizen. That multi-Sarajevo, multi-ethnic Sarajevo, multicultural Sarajevo was the reason why they want to destroy us so hard, because we was perfect example how we can live together in peace, because we was doing that, we was living together, all together in peace here in Sarajevo for centuries. And they want to represent, to show the world how we need to live separate. Orthodox for themselves, Catholic for themselves, Bosniak Muslim for themselves. Aggressor don't have specifically target here in Sarajevo. Target was everything. They shoot on everything. They want to destroy as much as possible of city and to kill many as possible citizens of Sarajevo. They drop grenade. They target was the hospitals. Target was houses, apartments, street. They shoot and kill with the snipers. So many civilians here. 90% of all victims was civilians, and just 10% was the soldiers.
I'm walking through Sarajevo in front of one of many buildings. In this case, it's a school that has a number of plaques in a sort of gold colour with blue writing outside them. Each plaque contains somebody's name, their date of birth, and their date of death. And even though the dates of birth vary, all the dates of death are between 1992 and 1995. These are some of the many casualties of the war here.
When war was started, 1992, I was 15 and a half years old. And 1 year later, when I was 16 and a half, I joined the Bosnian army. And I served in Bosnian army until end of war. In that time, I was very young. I was just 16 and a half. And I don't must to go to army. But that was my wish and my choice. Actually, my parents must give me permission, must give me a sign that I can go to first front line. But I was already told you, in that time, you can be killed anywhere and anytime. And it was almost the same if you was on the front line or you was in your school or in your apartment. I will tell you this fact to imagine how many artillery they have all around of us. From 1992 until 1995, aggressor forces, when I said aggressor forces, I mean on ex-Yugoslav army and radical Serbs, local Serbs, they drop approximately about 800 grenades for every citizen inside the city under the siege. 800 grenades for every each one of us who was actually the citizen of Sarajevo in that time. Even in wartime, Sarajevo stay multicultural and multi-ethnic city. Some of that Orthodox Serb citizen and Catholic Croat citizen who was living here before war, some of them decide to stay and fight against the radical Serbs. They fight to defend the city. Radical Serbs who decide to stay and Catholic Croat, of course, and Bosniak Muslim, which was majority in that time, was the members of Bosnian army. And they fight to defend the city. Specifically in the beginning of war, when it was very, very difficult period for Bosnia and Herzegovina, one of the most famous and very popular commander who worked very hard to defend the city was actually the General Jovo Divjak, and he was Orthodox. And he was Orthodox, and he was a leader of Bosnian army. I used to go to school before with my friends who was Orthodox Serbs and Catholic Croats. And when war was started, some of them decide to stay and we fight together against the radical Serbs. Unfortunately, some of them decide to leave, decide to go on the other side. Some of them decide to go on the mountains and hills and shoot on the neighbors. Radical Serbs on the mountains and hills around of Sarajevo, they said that Serbs who decide to stay in city wasn't real Serbs. If they are true Serbs, they need to be on the hills and mountains and kill the neighbors, and of course Muslims and Catholic Croats. For them, they wasn't true Serbs, and that's why they was enemy as same as all others. Of course, they cut everything what they can cut to us. We don't have food, we don't have water, we don't have electricity, gas, gasoline, nothing. And 3 months later, citizens start to starving. United Nations see what is happening because they was already in the city. They see what is really happening here and they decide to open the Sarajevo International Airport to take over Sarajevo International Airport from aggressor side and open it for humanitarian flight, first of all for food and medicine. That was the only good thing what is United Nations do here, nothing more. Radical Serbs said, okay, we will have a business with you. They don't want to give them the airport just like that. They said, we will retreat a couple hundred meters left and right from airport, but have any kind of supplements which will start to coming on this airport must give to them, must give to aggressor side. And the other half can go for a citizen of Sarajevo. That was a very good business for some Serb generals because who was controlling the airport, because food and everything was very, very expensive here in that time. And same that day when UN take over the airport, citizens from city side, from here, from that houses, right there, you can see it, start to running across the airport, across this field here, to this point where we are now. We are now right here. You can see these villages on this side. We have 3 villages in that time. That villages was something like free territory because they have connection across these mountains, Olympic Mountain Igman, Olympic Mountain Bjelašnica, and Saint Mountain Treskavica. Right there, this is Igman behind of us. And across that mountains, you can go to some other free territory. First of all, across this mountain, you can go to Herzegovina. We citizens start to run across the airport, of course, in the night time, under cover of night. Buy some food here, put that food on your back, approximately 35 or 40 kilo, and run back the same line across the airport inside the city. But when you have 35 kilo on your back, you couldn't run so fast. Also, airport is flat area, and snipers who was just a couple hundred meters left and right, and couple hundred meters is nothing for a sniper actually killing that citizen who was trying to run. In that time, 600 citizens was killed on the Sarajevo International Airport trying to run across. In that time, in our head, born idea that we dig the tunnel. If we couldn't use safely this area here, we will dig the tunnel underground and have connection between surrounded city and this free territory here. Engineers from the city construct the tunnel and we start to dig the tunnel from two opposite sides, from the basement of this house of family Kolar and from the basement of that white house from the city side. After 4 months and 4 days, we met together on the half Sarajevo International Airport, 5 meters underground. Our engineers do very good job because we met together, but we must start dig from two sides because we want to finish this job quick as possible. Time was very important for us. Every day someone was killed outside on the airport. So after 4 months and 4 days, we finished the tunnel and it was really big moment for us. Now some supplements, better food and everything can came here.
So I'm walking down now into the only original part that's left of the tunnel. There's only 25 meters left of the tunnel, the original tunnel that's still intact. There's a almost like a railway track along the ground, which they used trolleys to cart goods through. It's dark and cold down here. I'm having to bend down as I walk through. I'm about 5'9", I'd say this tunnel's about 5'6" in height, and it's pretty narrow as well.
Also, price of everything was completely different than normal in wartime. If you want to buy now, let's say normal price for 1 kilo coffee was, let's say, 10 mark. But if you want to buy 1 kilo coffee inside the city under the siege, you must pay it 150 mark. But if you want to buy a diamond ring for your girl, you can have it for 3 cigars. It's true, diamond and gold was very cheap, but food was very expensive. On the beginning of war, some in that time very very good car you can buy it for 100 Deutsche Mark, but you don't need a car in Sarajevo. You don't have gasoline and petrol, and grenade will certainly destroy it. We don't have food, we don't have water, we don't have electricity, but sometimes we have something to smoke. Of course, all tobacco come to city from Herzegovina, from Mostar, cross the mountains, through the tunnel inside the city to this fabric. But we don't have original paper, so we used some paper from different kind of books. Most of it was old communist books, and it was very popular souvenir for UN soldiers and for journalists. I served in Bosnian army, and I used to have this cigar in my unit. And I remember that I changed very easy this cigar with UN soldiers. They give me a Marlboro and I give them this cigar. It was good business for everyone. Because we don't have electricity and gas. And on something like this, you can cook your meal with one old shoes. We burn, we use everything what can burn to make a fire. Because also we have typical continental climate, and winter in Sarajevo can be very, very cold. And every day you must find some plastic or wood or all boots or anything what can burn to make fire for cooking. You must wait in a line every day at least 2 hours to have, let's say, 5 liters of water. Water for drink, for wash yourself, for cooking and something like that. So many people was killed actually waiting in line to have water, waiting in line to have some humanitarian food. Look around some wood or some kind of plastic. Every day you must go outside. You must go outside to look and find this stuff, what you need to survive. And then when you go outside, you are actually perfect target for them. This is something what we call Sarajevo rose, ili Sarajevska ruža. This is typical mark which stay after grenade striking concrete. This is something what shrapnels made, and you can see on that wall right there, the holes. It's holes from shrapnels from this grenade. This grenade and one more who explodes 3 meters from here in the same time kill 9 citizens right here. It was 1995. Here you can see this is the list of victims which was killed under the siege in Sarajevo. From 1992 until 1995, more than 10,000 citizens, more than 2,000 kids. If you better look, you can find all ages here, from baby old 5 days to old men in 90s. Also, sometimes you can see 3 or 5 or 10 members of the same family who was killed in Sarajevo during the war. every 14 or 50 years on Balkan is different wars. We have 4 or 5 years of war, and after that 15 years peace, and after that new war again.
It's not the case only in the Balkan, you know.
Yeah.
We have parts of Bosnia where we live together. You know. This country was divided. It was divided in Dayton, you know, when we made peace agreement, you know. And Dayton agreement included returning people to their houses, you know, but that didn't happen. In 96, for Serbs, you know, Dayton was that penalty, you know. But now they don't want to change Dayton because it's good for them. Because Dayton did not bring people back to their homes. That's part of Dayton which didn't happen after the war, you know. And nobody was interested to do it, you know.
I was walking through the Sarajevo old town. It's beautiful. And there's the smell of wonderful food from every corner. And there's people sitting outside drinking Turkish coffee. There's mosques that are calling to prayer. And I noticed a mannequin dressed up as a soldier with a big sign on him saying, "War exhibition this way." So I followed my way down, and I'm here in a big courtyard where there's a little section cornered off, and I wouldn't so much call it an exhibition, more a store of war memorabilia.
Everything what you look at is occupation, you know.
Serbia
This is Serbian territory, and everything is Serbian territory. You know, this is a Sarajevo.
A evo kako smo se mi branili. Evo ovo kaže.
Look, come here. Look, this is a gun. 5 euros. We profit, you know. Profit, and this is a uniform for 2 worlds. War, and that's it.
Can you ask him how long he's had this open?
Koliko dugo je otvoreno? 3 years.
And why?
Zašto? Yes. Look, people's must see, you know, must see their things, you know, 2 world war and now Bosnian war. You must see everything. You have Serbian caps and have partisan caps, you know. You see everything. You see that picture?
Which
occupation. Occupation with Bosnia. Come, please. You see everything, you know. Picture. Look. Now, you see. Munition of Bosnia. Something. Or something. We don't have everything. We don't need, you know. This is a good. Bosnia is a good country. Yes, country. It's a good country, you know, and we don't have problems, anything, you know, but Serbia need problems, everything. Serbia need problems, and that's it. We have problems now with Serbia. But see, this is a museum for this war and 2 world war. Problem, I mean, no problem now, but the Serbian lives now in Bosnia. Lives now in Bosnia and lives before, you know, but it's a go in the mountains and then kill Bosnian. Yeah. Kill Muslims, I mean, not some Muslims, the Croatian, he killed Bosnian men, Bosnian people.
And how old were you during the war?
Five years.
Do you remember anything?
Something. I've been little, but something, young.
And did they teach something you in school or from your family, friends? How do you learn about it if you were so little?
Yes, this is a very, I don't know why, I don't have words. I don't have words. For that, I don't have words.
Terrible.
Terrible. It's a small word, it's a terrible. No. You don't have words for this. For this situation before, yeah. You don't have words. That's a really big problem. That's the.
Do you feel safe here now?
No. Never, never safe. Never safe. You never safe in Bosnia.
Our problem is, you know, we don't have like different parties. You know, here everybody is nationalist. You know, politics here is business. You know, not really Of course, everywhere in the world politicians are almost same, but here different, you know, than somewhere else, you know. They don't have like so much responsibility to the people. How you can trust to the government? We have plenty of governments actually. Which government, you know?
One presidency and three presidents, and the three presidents change every 4 months. One of them is Bosniak Muslim, one is Catholic Croat, one is Orthodox Serbs.
And
everyone work for themselves, not for people.
Yesterday my father asked me who is now the president, and I said him, I don't know.
I don't know either.
And I don't know even today who is now. Who from three of them is now president of presidents, you know? I don't really. We have a Bosnian government. We have federal government, we have cantons government, we have municipalities, we have cities, you know. It's really confusing, you know. You will never put three politicians from three different sides and they made some kind of agreement, you know. That's not happening here, no. They will make agreement about salaries, you know, that's good. We're going farther and farther, you know. Especially after in Republic of Srpska, Social Democrats won, you know.
Yes, unfortunately, there is still some radical political fractions which actually have the plan for Republika Srpska, the same plan like Slobodan Milošević have or Radovan Karadžić to unite the Republika Srpska with Serbia. But it will never happen because politics in Serbia now is changing, I think, and there is no more ex-Yugoslav army.
Ethnically clean territory is called, for example, Republic of Srpska. And people who are there in the government, they believe, you know, that is land for Serbs, you know. You can live there, of course, they wouldn't stop you. But believe me, in that part of Bosnia, there are plenty war criminals still, you know, who are responsible for thousands killing, you know, here through this country. And that's problem of Dayton, you know. Dayton Agreement didn't say that somebody have to catch war criminals, you know, very fast after the war, before people started turning, you know. Of course, who would return, you know, in the city where the man who actually is responsible for killing your relatives is policeman, you know, who had a certificate from European Union, you know, to work as policeman, you know. And after 10 years, you know, they catch him, you know, and he finished in the prison. One person. But there are plenty of them who are walking free without any problems, you know. And every year here we have excavations of mass graves, you know. They never caught anybody there for killing, for example, 100, 200, 500 people and putting them in the mass graves. You know, they even changed location of the mass grave. Yeah. They never ask who did that. That was for them so normal, you know. And we have divided police, you know. Republic of Srpska have own police, we have own police. We have some units also on the state level, but president of Republic of Srpska don't like respect those units because he said they are not like in Dayton, you know. And, you know, I listened messages, you know, from politicians from European Union after, you know, Mr. Biden visited this, you know. He said, you have to fix problems inside, you know. But you know how we are fixing problems in the last, you know, period? With the guns, you know. You know, we need help, you know. We will not fight, you know.
This is not really many. This is, you have 3 minutes. The first is Slobodan Milošević. You know who is Slobodan? He's dead. He have a Radovan Karadžić, you know?
Who's now in The Hague.
Yes, he's in The Hague. And the Ratko Mladic is safe.
And what is the...
For now, he's safe.
For now, yeah.
But...
And on the back, what does it say?
On the back, you see words for justice. For Slobodan Milošević, I mean that being 2 million, something like that. That being 2 million. For Radovan Karadžić, I mean something like that. Or for Mladic, I don't know. 5 million.
Have you been following the Yugoslav tribunals in The Hague?
It is good because all world can see that radical politics of Serbs was wrong. That is what is good. But for victims,
In reality, even Serbs now don't respect those decisions. Yes. No. They did not still admit, you know, that those people made some mistakes.
But everyone can come here and can go on our cemeteries and see our graves.
Something that caught my eye and something that's been interesting as I've gone around Sarajevo and Mostar have been the maps and the way they're presented and the things that they say. Reading this one, it's got a comment on it about bridges, and you'll see in it a particular well, let's just say a lack of love for the journalists that were here at some points during the war from whoever was writing this map. Bridges, which are supposed to connect people, were in reality either borders or dangerous sniper zones. Foreign correspondents' cameras were waiting around the bridges while they were hiding behind corners or inside UN transporters and waiting for the quote-unquote live shot of death, which would bring them money or awards. And moving on to another map, you'll see a similar lack of love for the UN from someone who's writing about the UN's role on the back of a different map. And there's a section on UNPROFOR, which was the UN Protection Forces. It starts, "The role of UNPROFOR was manifold. They served as hostages to the aggressor," is the first line. "They cleared the garbage. They rode in trams as a protection against snipers. They gave out sweets, brought flour, destroyed the surface of Sarajevo streets with their tanks and transporters. They repaired electrical transmission lines. They controlled the airport."
United Nations came here to Sarajevo in 1991, 1 year before war was started here. Actually, the same year when start war in Croatia. So when war was started here, they was already here, but they wasn't help us a lot. I will tell you also in this, the first airplane which was come here on the when airport was open, when United Nations take airport, was the full airplane of with medicine, and it was medicine for malaria, which was completely insane. We never used to have any problem with malaria. Countries in war, we have so many dead and wounded people, and they send us full the airplane of medicine for malaria. Base of UN was in this white building with blue fire steps on the left side. Before war, it was student center, and in wartime, it was base for United Nations, UN troops. It was like mannequins. They drive in army vehicles around, they have a picture like mannequins, and they was actually supervisor for peace, and there's no peace here. It was war, and they said, "We are just for peace," and all they do, they said, "Oh, they are shooting on the city from that hill, they are shooting on the city from that mountain." We know that, but they wasn't help us.
There's no logic. There was
this airport was only good thing.
That's
my opinion. No fly
zone above Bosnia. Decision of the United Nations. Nobody could fly and drop the bombs, you know. NATO was controlling the sky, you know. But they didn't make resolution about no artillery zone, you know. Why? You know. We wouldn't be angry, believe me, so much, you know, if United Nations let us that we have defense, you know. We had Yugoslav army here, you know. They had all weapons, you know. We had nothing. They attacked us, and United Nations said, you know, no stopping embargo, you know. Let them practically to kill them, you know. That was crazy, you know, really crazy, you know. We didn't ask that some soldiers came here and to die for our country, you know. We just asked for normal human right about defending the family, you know, defending the country, you know. Somebody tried for the first time in the history of Bosnia. We had many occupators, you know, here. But for the first time, those people tried to destroy the name of Bosnia. And everything's what a whole history, you know, of Bosnia. And they didn't succeed. You know, we had here Romans, Turks, Austrians, Germans, you know, nobody never tried to destroy the name, you know, but those people, they tried. And United Nations decided that we don't have right to defend our country. You know, crazy, really crazy.
And I think all world was very embarrassed about Srebrenica, because in Srebrenica, aggressor forces killed about 8,000 civilians in just a few days. It was the biggest massacre from Second World War until now in Europe, in the heart of Europe. And after that, I think the world was a little bit embarrassed, and Bill Clinton said, okay, now we can maybe do something. And the NATO strike happens on position of Serbs, not just in Bosnia and Herzegovina. They attack and destroy even in Serbia, around the Belgrade and Novi Sad, some military base. And after a few days, NATO completely destroy ex-Yugoslav army. We just ask ourselves why they can do that the same year, the first year of war.